Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church. Sorry we're running a little late this morning, but our sound techs were having a little bit of problem getting our sound together. We were picking up the radio, and I didn't figure you wanted to hear the radio this morning. So we're glad to have you here and keeping everybody home and safe as we're all dealing with this situation that we find ourselves in. I pray God's blessing on you. So as we begin this morning, let us come together in prayer that we may seek our Lord God's heart, that we may have his presence here among us today. Father God, we come before you as we open our time together to look through your word and see what you have to teach us during this time of Lent as we lead up to Easter, the most blessed holiday of the Christian calendar. For in that, Lord, you have set us free from the debt of sin. Lord, we thank you for your blessings, and we ask, Lord, that you would give comfort and peace to every heart that is listening to us and to those who go out believing and knowing that you are the light of the world, that you will give us the resolve to be the church of Jesus Christ, even now, as we look into these trying times. Lord God, bless your word as we bring it forth. Bless this pastor that the words I speak may be yours, and bless the hearers to receive only from you through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus we pray, amen. As we continue in our time together, we're going to be continuing our sermon series, and today's sermon is entitled Walking in the Light. So as we are walking in the light, I want you to think about just what that means. I want to share a story with you from my own life, something that happened to me many years ago when I was a kid. And yeah, I used to be a kid at one point in time. That was a long time ago. But I was on a rafting trip with my high school. We went on a trip down along the Youghiogheny River and the Cheat River. Well, when we got to the Cheat River, it was in flood stage, and we didn't know any better. We were just a bunch of dumb people, didn't have guides. We had a gentleman that was leading us that had been down the river several times before, and it's supposedly a fairly easy set of rapids. However, when it's in flood stage, it goes up to a professional grade level in the amount of turbulence that's in the water. Well, being novices, we never should have got in the water, but we did. Long story short, a quarter of the way down the river, we found ourselves out of our boats. Most of our rubber rafts had already taken to the river, and we were without any way to traverse. And it's a canyon. We were stuck in that canyon. We tried to forge our way out, but it was several miles, and it got dark. Once night came upon us, it was very difficult to travel because you can't see where you are. There's no lights. The only lights that were there were the stars, and in a canyon, you don't get a whole lot of light. So what ended up happening was people were falling into rocks, running into trees, all kinds of horrible things, and we finally hunkered down for the night because it was just too difficult to travel any longer. However, when the first rays of the sun started coming through, please remember we're in a canyon. It was cold because that water is just churning and throwing water into the air. And we were wet. But however, when the daylight started to come and we were able to see once again, then we could pick up from where we were and begin to walk safely towards our destination. We actually got out of the river before our rescuers showed up. And we were told when they found us, when we were at the end, at the place where we were to portage out, that if you get stuck down there overnight, they normally end up taking people to the hospital for hypothermia because the temperature drops so far, it gets just about to freezing. But all of us had survived because we were smart enough to stop walking in the darkness, come together for warmth, and wait for the light. For the light shall set you free. So today we're going to talk about walking in that light. Because light as we see it, when the Bible speaks of light, when it talks to us and says walking in the light, it means an inward illumination of mental and spiritual understanding. When it speaks about walking in darkness, it means that we are walking and living in ignorance and confusion. The Psalm 82:5 says, and this won't be up, but it says, they have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. And then Ephesians 4:17-18 says, now this I affirm and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. But we have for us something even better. And it actually is the scripture that when we're here on Sundays is in the very front of our bulletin. So on the screen before you, you will see 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, we normally just have up verse 6, but we're going to look at verses 5, 6, and 7. So from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, we read these words. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. You and I carry no light. We have no light whatsoever in our being because we are darkness in our sin. However, when Christ comes into our lives, God gives us that. That's why the apostle here, he wants to make sure with verse number 5, he's telling us, we don't preach ourselves because we have no light, but we preach Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And this is a true illumination of mental and spiritual understanding that comes only as we live and have our being in Christ. Last week, we spoke about the law. Last week, we looked at the very reality that the teachings, remember, I want us to understand from the Hebrew perspective, law means teachings. And God's teachings is not just the first five books. It is every book of the Bible. From the beginning to the end, from the end to the beginning, God gives us these instructions. God gives us these descriptions that we are supposed to live by. And in them, there is a sense of light. And that light comes to us in the form of His Word. So as we look to that, we hear from Psalms 119, where it says to us, and I love this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And you know, we actually sing the song. It says, Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And then in Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, The unfolding of thy words gives light. As we read God's word, as we open it up and begin to apply it. Now, this is pre-Holy Spirit, all right? I'm talking about the Old Testament peoples that were out there. When they were reading God's word, when they were living in this law gave them a sense of light, a direction, an instruction, all right? Now, I want you to think about that description. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, you know, we have some pretty powerful lamps and some pretty powerful lights. When you turn on a light in your home, it illuminates an entire room. But I want you to think about Old Testament lights. They didn't have electric lights. What did they have? They had oil lamps. And they would light a little fire, a little ember, a light. When we have our candles sitting up front here, that's a little light. One candle power is what we're talking there. And it gives a little bit of light that you can see, and there's a semblance, but there's shadows everywhere in that light. And I want you to think about it in a modern sense of being out at night and using a flashlight to be able to see. You can light your path, but you can't light up everything to see what is happening all around you. And this is what the law was for the people. It was a sense of light, that they had a direction to go. They couldn't see everything, and we are the same way today. We can't see everything, but we can see bits and parts where the light is shining in our lives, where we are applying that light to our lives. And God wants us to be led by that light, as if, I said earlier, a flashlight. Well, think about it this way. I have a flashlight right now that when I turn it on, I can literally light up a football field, because that's how far flashlights have advanced. However, God wants us to see even more than that. So therefore, he wants us to walk in the full light of day. He wants us to walk in the sunshine. And when I say sunshine, I'm spelling sun, S-O-N, because we need to walk in the sun's light. Because that light brings us into full spiritual day, because the Holy Spirit enters into that relationship as we accept our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we accept him and we reach out to him, he reaches back to us and gives us that great and wonderful gift through salvation of the illumination of the Spirit of God within each and every one of our beings. When we think about what I'm talking about there, Jesus gave us explicit words to testify to us. From John chapter 8, verse 12, Pete's going to put that up here on the screen right now. He says to us, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You and I are those very people who are changed in that moment, because we're no longer stumbling around, groping in darkness, trying to find our way, because we have found Christ, who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life. And in him there is no darkness at all. We're also told in John 12, and 46, that he said to us, I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Now, that may not be the exact words that you're seeing on the screen, because I'm quoting them from my notes, but the reality is it's the same. He is the light of the world, and we have come out of darkness, that our eyes, our spiritual eyes, can be illuminated. Our spirits can reach out in discerning what's happening around us. We don't have to depend on the media that is setting out all this fake news. And believe me, there's a lot of fake news happening right now. It's scary, because we are seeing things that we've never seen unfold, but at the same token, we know God is in control. He's still on the throne of heaven. And as one of our dear friends has said, if you've read the book of Revelation, these things are destined to come. As we get closer and closer to the day of Christ, these things are destined to come. And it is in their coming that we should take solace that God is the light of the world. He is showing us what's happening. He is illuminating our path, not just our path, but our entire world, if we are willing to have eyes to see and ears to hear. But we need to take that initiative. We need to look back and understand that the law describes situations. The law gives us instruction, but the light reveals what is really there. If you remember in the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to turn there right now, and you may too, Isaiah chapter 9, and I think this is amazing, and I'm gonna refer to it here in just a little while, because when you understand what is being said here to us, there's a reason this is important to me right now, and I'm gonna speak on that in just a few minutes. But this is a scripture that we read every Christmas. This is a scripture that we use during the time of Advent. And chapter 9, verse 2 tells us this. It says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." That light that is being spoken of there, we know is Jesus Christ. These people in the Old Testament, when Isaiah spoke these words, he was prophesying the Messiah coming. They were still using a flashlight to see, but they had the hope of a greater light that was to come, that would illuminate all things unto the salvation of many. And that's what they believed in, and it was counted unto them as righteousness. And they are now in God's presence because they believed. They walked with that little bit of light that they had. But we have the light of Christ in our lives. There is nothing out there that we should fear. Please remember, during this time of darkness, and it is a time of darkness, we have to remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And I'm going to tell you right now, perfect love, Jesus Christ is perfect love, casts out all fear. And I think it's funny because one of the things that's been spoken about this coronavirus, and I find parallels of God everywhere because my eyes are open, my heart is open. Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world." Guess what one of the greatest killers of this virus is? Sunlight. Did you just catch that? Sunlight. The more we can get ourselves out there in the sunlight, the greater chance we're going to have of defeating this virus. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go out and parade around town. What I'm talking about is a spiritual illumination. We need to remember we are secure in Christ, because even if I were to get out of this room today and on my way home have an automobile accident and die, I'm still living, for I am in Christ Jesus, and I will be with him forever in eternity. You and I have to take that hope that we have of our eternity, because we're talking about eternal things. You see, right now, this world wants us to think on temporal things, this moment, because that's all this world has. It's all they can see. It's all they can hold on to. But you and I have eternity in our grasp. It's in our being. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You have the hope that we're going to speak about here in just a little while. Unfortunately, light is not a virtue in our world. Right now, we see people walking in a darkness that is pervasive in our land. These fleshly things that we speak of, these worldly things that we speak of, that seem to have a light of their own, that they draw us to them, and they want to inflict upon us and bring us to doing, literally make the things of God look unpleasant. They literally make the things of God, the self-discipline and the self-denials, to be something that people don't want, because you have to limit yourself. Folks, you are not limited in Christ Jesus. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong, and we all know it. That's a bottom line. And we need to walk in those truths, because if we don't, then we are no better than the world that is around us. And when you look at the world and the things that are happening in our world, I don't know about you, but I really don't want anything to do with those things anymore. They're hard. They're horrible. They're bigoted. They're, you know, all these things that they say about us is what they are. But I want to show the love of God. I want to reveal the light of Christ that sets me free to live a life of joy and understanding and discernment, that the more I walk in the light of Jesus Christ, the more I gain in his understanding and the illumination of the Holy Spirit, the freer I am to engage people who are in darkness and give them the answers to help set them free, and to walk my own life in that sense of freedom. Because when we walk in darkness, it is filled with ugliness and pain and temptation that just abounds. And, you know, it's hard enough in life, let alone having all these other things added onto us from the aspects of the world. If only the alcoholic or the drug addict could see on that first drink of alcohol or that first dose of drugs, where they would be 10 years later, 5 years later, 2 years later, would they have taken that first drink? Would they have taken that first drug, smoked that first joint? The answer is no, because nobody wants to go there. And that's why people do go there, because I can control it. You can't control darkness. Darkness blinds us, but the light sets us free. The light illuminates that we can see plainly where we are, and that God could be honored, because as we walk in that light, we give thanks to Him that He has opened our eyes, He has opened our hearts to receive that truth, to know that reality, and to walk free of that ugliness and pain and the false allures of temptation. When we begin to walk in that light that is shining in a dark land, as we just heard, this light enables us to see things in oppositions to the alternatives of life and their long-range perspective, to know the different pathways and where they lead, and the reality that there are paths that seem right unto man but lead to death. But there is a way that is good and leads to eternal life. And that pathway can only be found in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we realize this, that the pathway to eternal happiness, to light, and fellowship with God comes through Jesus Christ, then we will truly see. In 1 John chapter 1, it's going to take me a minute here. I need to flip back. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. You and I were meant for fellowship, okay? Right now, this world is trying to break that fellowship because they're trying to keep us safe. They want to keep the numbers of people who get this virus low. And praise God for it. That's intelligence, all right? Again, the Holy Spirit illuminates us, gives us the ability to see truth. And the truth of the matter is, in God's word, as I explained a few weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, God has already given us the wherewithal to see that we do need to isolate ourselves and need to isolate those people who are sick. That's Old Testament. That's Leviticus. That's way back at the beginning, all right? So we do need to have that separation. But what we are doing right now through this podcast, through this broadcast, through this internet series, that we're going to continue well into this thing, which, by the way, if you're here with us today, I'm going to take a moment and do a commercial break. Because I want you as the church to understand, we need to keep this church going, which means we need you. We need you, number one, talking to your friends. We still have the ability to call people and use Facebook and all the social technologies that we're using right now to get this message out to you. Use them. Get the word out about our services continuing on Sundays. And we're going to be doing a Wednesday Bible study where we're going to take the book of our discipleship and we're going to answer a question or two. That you're going to have a 15, maybe 20 minute teaching midweek. And it'll be right on our website. And for those of you who wish to donate, and please, I suggest you do, because we need to keep things going in the church. Our address is on our website. Ryan has instructed me to send you folks to that website, and you can send your donations in. Now, this is the first time ever that I have asked for donations. But during this time, we need to keep things going. And I want you to remember that God wants us to walk in the fullness of His instructions. We need to remember the greatest offering you can give God is what, folks? I tell you this every Sunday. Has nothing to do with money, but it has everything to do with your heart. Give God your heart, and God will make everything else right. Because once He has your heart, He can direct your paths, and He'll guide you in ways of righteousness. But those ways are only going to be found when we come into the light and we walk in fellowship, not only with God, but with one another. All right? From 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Yes, you did. You were all saying out there right now, I see you. You're all laughing because you were like, oh, he's going to forget to go back to that verse. No, I didn't. Na, 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 boo, boo. Says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Brothers, I'm going to tell you right now. Sisters, I'm going to tell you right now. The fellowship that we have is a fellowship that comes from the Holy Spirit. Boy, I got goosebumps, and it's not because I'm cold. It is amazing what God wants us to experience together. And it is a sense of fellowship that goes beyond any virus. It goes beyond any separations to the point that you know when you are in the presence of other Christians. You know when you are in the presence of God and you have fellowship with him. We're talking a real relationship. And for those of you out there who don't know that relationship, I suggest right now that you just call out his name. Ask him to forgive your sins. Ask him to fill your life with the hope of his truth, of his light, of his life. And he will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit and baptize you, not with water, but with the flames of the Holy Spirit himself. And then get into the word, which is the water, and be purified by all that he is. Because we still need to know who he is, and we find that by getting into his word. As we walk in God's way, carrying out step by step the instructions that he has programmed us to do, that he has called us to do, we will find a new paradigm. Romans chapter 1 and chapter 12 and verse 2 says that we are to renew our minds, okay? That is what happens when light comes in and darkness has to flee. All of a sudden, when you're walking in darkness, you can't see everything and you think you see something. But all of a sudden, when you throw a great amount of light into it, everything becomes clear. That's the renewing of your mind because you can see things for what they really are. And that's what we need to see this as. We need to see this as a wake-up call, church. We are in those last days before the trumpet. We are in those last days. We entered into them several months ago when the sign was in the sky, when the virgin was in travail, and the moon was at her feet and the sun was at her shoulder. And I spoke that to all of you. And those of you who don't know that, look that up. Look that up. Go on the internet and look for that sign of the virgin in travail, and you will see that it has already happened. We are in these last days. The door has been opened unto the end times coming. So we've got a lot of stuff, biblical things that are happening around the world. When was the last time you saw something like this? Well, they said it was the Spanish flu of 1918. That's 100 years ago. This is unprecedented territory. This is uncharted territory for almost every living being on the planet. Please remember, there's nothing new under the sun. And if you've been with me for a while, you know how I feel about prophecy. Prophecy is Germanic. In other words, it happens once, it'll happen again, it'll happen again, it'll happen again. It's Germanic. It germinates and it grows and then it germinates again until its final fulfillment in Christ Jesus. All prophecy is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. But we have to understand the fellowship that we have, the light that we have that guides us unto paths of righteousness, the instructions that light our path a little bit, coming out into that relationship and finding that full sunlight, give us one great thing that our world doesn't have. And right now, I'm going to get about as real as I can get with what's going on. I watched the news the other day. Again, I told you all I haven't watched TV for, it's going on 4 years now. Turn the news on because all this stuff's happening. Well, the other day I was watching the news and the one reporter came on and he was saying how people are beginning to light Christmas lights. They're putting their Christmas lights back up out in their lawns, decorating their trees. And it's amazing because as I drove around our little community of Lebanon, I began to see it too. The commentator said, as the words of the song say, we all need a little Christmas right now. Well, folks, I want to remind you why that light is so important. That's from Isaiah. That's the Isaiah 9 and 2 that I read earlier. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On them who walk in the land, a great light has shone upon them. And that is Jesus Christ. Those Christmas lights, why do they bring us peace? Why do they bring us a sense of caring? Why does the thought of Christmas mean so much? Well, it's the spirit of Christmas. What's the spirit of Christmas? It's Christ's birthday. Folks, remember, it began there. But we're headed for Easter. And that is where Jesus said, it is finished. That's where we live. We live in Easter, but we don't live in the death on the cross. We live in the resurrection of new life. We live in the power of that light that is available to us right now. We have hope. Those Christmas lights mean something because they remind us that Jesus Christ came, that he dwelt among us, that he was here with us, and that he is the reason for our hope. The spirit of Christmas that our world is looking at, that longing for something good, is because Jesus Christ is the only good, for only God is good and God alone. And in him all hope is found. Because we're talking eternal matters. Why are people afraid of this virus? Because it's making us deal with our mortality. We are temporal if we are in this world alone. But we who are in Christ know every being on this planet is eternal. We will die, and that is unto eternity. Or we will live, and that is unto eternity. The choice is ours. Where are you going to go? What are you going to believe? How are we going to walk? Are we going to walk in darkness, in ignorance, and confusion? Or are we going to walk in light with instruction and description, knowing where to go, how to live, who to be, having the hope of God and fellowship with him and one another. We have the ability right now, brothers and sisters, if you're watching this, to change the face of our world in our community and out to the world with these broadcasts. It's my hope that each and every one of you will do just that, that you will see and know that we are the light of the world, that we are not to hide our light under a bushel, no, but to set that lampstand in the window that all may see its light and draw comfort. We are that lighthouse shining out into the sea of the unknown, guiding the ships on their journey to safety you and I have been given a great call. Will we be that light? Will we allow that light that is in us, that has given us understanding, to illuminate other lives? Because right now, that's what we need. We need the hope of knowing. We need the hope of being. We need the hope of life, truth, and the way. And that comes to us only and solely through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much for the love, for the mercies that you have given us. We thank you that the light that you have given us casts out all fear. Lord, we're going to walk comprehensive. We're going to walk, and that's probably not the word I need, but Lord, we're going to walk in such a way as to be safe. We're going to walk in such a way as to know that you're in control, but that we're to share your love. Lord God, we also know that no matter what happens to us, we're yours. Nothing, no one can snatch us from your hand. And we have that peace of knowledge that when the world turns upside down, all we need to do is turn to you. And you will grant us peace as we seek that fellowship and gain the hope and knowledge in the face of Christ Jesus, who is our Lord, and in whose name we pray. May God bless you and keep you in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been watching a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.